Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised. Hello there, listeners. Ashley and Heather here. Just checking in to let you know why this week's episode is a tad bit late.
Ashley walked into walls. It's not good for your health. Wrist break.
I wish I walked into a wall. It would make more sense.
It would.
I went to sleep and I woke up in agonizing pain.
Things happened during sleep.
I also jammed my thumb just pulling my pants up.
So. I broke my foot walking one time, so I'm not judging. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just, you know, bodily injuries. Random bodily injuries are very normal once you hit your 30s.
So you hurt your wrist. Couldn't edit the episode.
I could not. I was in a brace for a couple weeks. I had to immobilize my wrist and certain fingers after I jammed my thumb on top of whatever wrist injury I had. I was living my best life, you know?
Except for your right wrist.
Not to mention I also pinched a nerve in my neck. It was pretty excruciating. But I am back. I am on the mend. And we just wanted to pop in and let everyone know. I know some of you are probably left out there hanging, didn't really know what was going on. I do apologize. But in the future, if you're ever wondering if, say, an episode doesn't show up, or maybe you wanted to tune in and see what the sip and snack was ahead of the episode and everything, any kind of interaction, or you just want to know what's up, you can definitely follow the podcast Instagram. So any kind of news is posted there. It's Turgid Tomes Podcast. All right, we just wanted to pop in. We'll wrap up. Let you get to the episode ASAP since it's so late. Sorry.
Toodles.
Love you guys. Bye.
Don't die. But if you do, die quietly. I'm recording, sir.
Could you die quieter?
God.
Thanks.
Greetings, fellow Tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. We are closing out this month with another questionable mafia man in Promises and Pomegranates by Sav R. Miller. And we have Heather back with us to discuss. Hello, Heather.
Hello, Ashley.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Why are we like this?
Oh, God. So, what's been going on? I saw that you... What was your goal again? What was your goal for your Instagram followers? I saw you had 60 the other day.
I have 62.
Oh,
as of now. I am acquiring them quite quickly.
Good.
But yeah, I think we said 75, so I'm doing all right.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it. If you hit 75, and we've got to raise the
bar. I knew you were going to do that. And it's like, let me just live in my 75 when I get there.
Drinks. I don't have one.
Oh, I do. It's a Heather original. So, of course I needed a drink with pomegranates because promises and pomegranates. So my drink is called Persephone's Passion.
Ooh.
And it is equal parts pomegranate blueberry V8 juice and sparkling wine.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
I went with an extra dry because the juice is like really sweet.
Oh, yeah. Is it V8 Flash?
It is, as a matter of fact. Well, you get fruits and vegetables in each serving. Thank you very much.
Should have had a V8. You remember that?
Stop.
I don't like it. I don't have a drink, because I just finished my book report like a minute before we went on to record. So.
I like that you're the slacker this time and not me doing the like homework at the last second.
It's been a weird week.
Yeah.
But yeah, so obviously, it has to be pomegranate.
Obviously.
You know, honestly, I think I'm just gonna find, like, a pomegranate wine. Like, they have to have it.
They don't have to have it, but they could have
I mean, like, they have cranberry wine. They gotta have pomegranate wine. I'm just gonna take my
take my usual trip to Total Wine and just lurk around, pick up a pomegranate wine. And since this is in February, you know, Valentine's, I'm just gonna find some shitty chocolate and pomegranate wine.
The wine will be good. I don't know about that shitty box of chocolate.
To be fair, there are actually decent chocolate configurations, chocolate boxes that they put together. You have to spend more for them, but they are. There's some out there, but you know, I'm a broke bitch, so I'm just going to get the cheapest, nastiest one I can.
Russell Stover's buy one, get one free. Should be the week of Valentine's Day at Publix if they stick to past.
My boy Russell!
But they do have a dark chocolate one collection that has a lot of like dark chocolate truffles and like dark chocolate caramel, and now
I was
dark
thinking,
chocolate's where it's at.
No, I was thinking because the pomegranate wine is going to be really sweet, so I was thinking it needs something a little bitter, a little something to take it down. So definitely I'm gonna try to find a dark chocolate box somewhere. Let's talk a little bit about the author, Sav R. Miller. She is an international best-selling author of dark and contemporary romance. Putting her lifelong love of reading and writing to use, Sav graduated with a degree in creative writing in 2018 and now spends her time giving morally gray characters their happily ever afters. Currently, she lives in Kentucky with three pups, Lord Byron, Poe, and Arrow. She loves sitcom, silence, and sardonic humor. One of us. She has some other series. I think there's a King's Cross or King's Crossing. She co-wrote a book with Emily McIntyre, the one that does Hooked.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. They're like, I feel like they're besties in real life. They wrote a book together. I can't think of the name. But yeah, so she's got some other stuff out there. I'm definitely going to check it out. Okay. Obviously, everyone has seen this book on TikTok.
I have not, because I live under a rock.
Yeah. All right. Let's get this show on the road.
Okay.
The Brazen Book Report. Heather. Ashley. How would you summarize this book?
Let's see what I wrote last week. It will be a surprise for me, too. Two dark and twisted souls will find love in this Hades and Persephone inspired dark romance novel. Elena, the mafia princess, is forced into a marriage with Callum, aka Dr. Death, after watching him murder her fiancé. He steals her away from her family, and she submits to her captivity. That was my summary.
Yup.
Yeah?
Yup.
How did you summarize the story minutes ago when you did your book report?
I summarized this story 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
I did it.
Uh-huh.
People-pleasing daddy's girl is saved from an arranged marriage by the hot sociopath that took her virginity. Or no, wait, I want to go B card. B card's a little more young.
Okay.
You know, she's 18. I gotta be.
By the hot. Did save B card? We should ask.
He took her maidenhead.
Okay, grandma.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. Take two.
By the hot sociopath that took her V card. The new hubby squirrels her away to some town he owns, and her parents are salty about it. There's some tiffs, lots of sex, kinks, and the reveal that hubby slept with her mother. But don't worry. They live happily ever after, having tons of sex, I'm sure. Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
That's about it. Let's get into quotes. Any quotes you liked, disliked?
I mean, there's a lot here.
Oh.
One is Cal and Elena are having this conversation. Well, not really a conversation.
I thought you were going to say Cal and Elena were having sex. I was like, yeah, like the whole book? Yeah.
Having sex like 95% of the book. And then there's 5% plot and shock with the mother.
Missed it.
Yeah. Blink and you miss the plot. So she's has this habit of like talking out loud for no good reason. It makes no sense. So she's in a room, like, yada yada blah blah, all to herself, and he walks in, and he's like, talking to yourself again? And I appreciate her answer. I'm great company. Because, like, when I'm, like, muttering at a computer sometimes at work, like, I'm talking to myself, and if someone asks me that, I have my sarcastic answer now. Yes, because I'm great company. This one, to me, just kind of, I went back after reading the book, it's like, this one pretty much sums up Elena's whole relationship with Cal, I feel. So she's talking about, this is after they did not have sex, but they were like, I don't even know what he was doing. So she's naked in his bed.
Naturally.
And so this is the part. Not long ago, I watched him murder my fiancé and then force me into marrying him. Apparently, after the initial shock and anger wears off during times of stress, my brain takes a back seat and lets my vagina do the driving. Literally, her vagina does all the driving in this book. Like, this is...
Her vagina wrote this book.
Her vagina wrote this book. It's like...
Just kidding. Savar Miller wrote this book.
No. Elena's vagina wrote this book.
Elena's vagina was the ghostwriter of this book.
Please do. But it's like literally every time they have like a confrontation, they have a fight, they have whatever misunderstanding is going on, they have sex. This is not the fucking time for fucking, okay? Can we have a conversation? Oh, please. And then the one time they are having a conversation while fucking, I'm like, I don't know if this is brilliant or if I am terrified because they are communicating.
You know, but... some people just communicate on a more physical level, Heather. You know, they have to insert something in somewhere, and that's how they communicate.
Yeah, this is, I feel like Savar Miller giving us, like, she knows what she's doing here. Mm-hmm. This quote is Elena talking to Cal. It's okay, I've already grown quite accustomed to my Stockholm Syndrome. That's for us.
Oh,
we see that. The author understands what she's doing, and she gives us lines like that, so I'm like, okay, fine.
She is fully aware that this is an over-the-top, fucked-up, dark, twisty romance.
It's a lot, that one.
It's a lot. What else?
No, I think I'm good for now. Like I said, other things, we'll come back to this.
Yeah.
So, what were good quotes that you found in this book?
This quote, in particular, is just so relatable to me. I'm pretty sure Elena said it at some point. Who knows? Maybe they were having sex while she said it.
Probably.
She's trying to describe, you know, the state of affairs. God, I cannot speak.
Words are hard.
My brain's like, it's Friday, it's shutdown time.
Like, stop, what are you doing?
We don't have to be coherent until Monday. Check it out.
No, bitch, you gotta get through this first.
Okay, so Elena, she says, regarding her life, it's just that the ride is more like a roller coaster, and the theme park attendant isn't letting me off. And if that's not indicative to my life, I don't know what is.
I want to get off now, but they won't let me.
Excuse me.
Sir.
Yeah, that was, I was just like, I feel that. I felt that in my soul. So this is a quote from Cal, and he's discussing, he's having like an internal thought process or monologue. He's thinking about how he ghosted Elena after taking her virginity.
Mm.
But it's surprisingly poetic. And though I left the way death usually does, silently, before dawn, it was never my intention not to return and collect.
Yeah, that was one interesting part of it. There was a lot of poetry, like, inserted into the story that, I mean, if it's not sex, it's poetry. Is that basically the moral of the story?
Mm-hmm. And then, I'm not sure, I think Elena said this about somebody, who knows, things, quotes. She'd say humans are made up of energy, and that energy has a certain magnetism to it that attracts both what we fear and what we desire, and that it was up to us to reflect the kind of life we wanted to the universe so it would be able to deliver. For a book that was mostly intercourse, it has some surprisingly deep quotes.
It does.
Surprisingly deep. Surprisingly. Like Cal was in Elena for 95% of this book.
I thought you were seeing yourself out. Are you still here?
I'm back. Oh. I saw myself back in. Let's see. You cannot... I think this was from Elena. Someone said it in this book. You cannot love a person fully without knowing the darkness etched into their soul. I find that to be accurate.
True.
All right, whatever. That's some quotes. Let's get on to some other stuff. What was your favorite part?
So we've said, jokingly, that this book is 95% sex. Because it is.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part is literally all of the smutty sex, because it is well written.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a point where, like, yeah, do I think some of it's over the top? Like, yeah, the bloodletting, the scarring situation, like, okay, it's a little too dark sometimes, but I never question, like, how do your hands do that? And, like, where are your legs again? And weren't we just over here against a wall? How are we? It made sense, you know, as you're reading it, it flows. It is actually like a very natural kind of, you know, build up, if you will. So I appreciated that. Sometimes mm-hmm. you get like these sex scenes that are just, they're trying to shock you with their, but this is a book that has like two or three sex scenes in it. So they're trying to get all their bang in. But this
bang
one is
for
like,
their buck.
There you go. It's pretty much just sex, sex, more sex, but it is well-written sex. It is sex yes. that like starts and it builds and it ends. There's aftercare. And like I said, I never once tried to figure out, like, do you have four hands? Like, how are your hands doing all these things? And where was your face again? Like, what? That never, not even one time, did I stop and have to, like, think about where people were in, like, where their body parts are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was probably my favorite part of it. It's a very well-written 95% sex. Yeah. So I did like that. And
listen, there's nothing more uncomfortable than unwell? Not well-written sex scene.
Yeah. When they're bad and they're just like you said, some romance novels get in like the one or two, maybe three sex scenes. You know, they're like hitting a quota. It's like, yeah. we want to do this. And they try to put it all into like,
they're going
to
kiss.
Short, yeah. And then
they're going to fool around like fingers. Mm. And then they're going to do mouth and intercourse stuff. And then you're done.
Yeah. So this, it was just, you know, if your whole book's going to be sex, write it well. And she did.
Chef's kiss.
So, Ashley, what was your favorite part?
Oh, Ashley. So obviously from quotes, I love the writing style. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy this author's writing style a lot. Mm-hmm. I just vibe with it. You know, some people don't care for certain writing styles and, you know, to each their own, and that's fine. And there have been some books that I have really not clicked with the mm-hmm. writing style.
Oh.
But the plot and stuff is enough to be like, I liked it, but I don't know if I'll read anything else because I really don't like this writing style. But this,
I found the opposite as well. Like, it's really well written, but, like, the story is hot garbage. It was like... Yeah.
So, I went through and read the different synopses.
The summaries.
There we go. Dumb it down. I went through and read the summaries for the rest of the books in the series. There's, like, a handful mm-hmm. now. Spoiler, there's a lotion thing or something that I keep seeing and hearing about on TikTok and Bookstagram, so I need to read this. I have to read the second book. And I think it's about Jonas, his friend, his helper, Cal's helper. So my favorite part, you know, writing style, top tier, superb.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Also, very relatable. Having a garden that nothing grows in. Elena tries. So, you know, Cal whisks her away to, what is it, like an island or something? He owns an island. No big deal. Casual. Yeah. He whisks her away to his island that he owns. And she gets bored. So she keeps cycling through different hobbies, trying to find something to keep herself entertained. I think one of them was fishing.
Painting something, like a bunch of crafty things, and then she went to gardening.
Yeah, so then she's like, oh, got it, gardening. So they do all this work, dig up all this ground, like till it, everything, plant all the seeds, water it, nothing. Absolutely nothing grows. And I laughed so hard because I know how bad that sucks.
I 100% knew that as soon as she fully embraced her life on the island, that garden would grow. Like, I knew, like, the foreshadowing of this garden was, like, messing with my head the whole time. I knew as soon as they accepted their love, like, the garden would bloom. I was like, lame.
You're such a romantic, Heather.
But I mean, there's, like, 1 ounce of romance in this, like, fucking fuckbook. So, I mean, yeah, I was waiting for it. Fucking fuckbook should definitely be quoted somewhere, by the way.
This fucking fuckbook.
Fucking fuckbook.
Although I can't post this on Instagram, they'll probably ban me.
You know, effing fbook then.
This fecking feck book.
This fecking feck. For you fecking 5-year-olds.
This spooking fook book.
Are we just gonna go through, like, all of the alphabet and, like, pick all of our vowel sounds?
Well, this is absolutely gonna be important. Fucking
fact book.
Facking.
Stop.
Least favorite part.
Okay, let me tell you. The only problem I had with these sex scenes were the awful, ridiculous, stupid names that Cal was calling Elena every time. It felt so misogynist to me. It's like every time he did it, I just got mad. And I get, like, it's part of this whole, like, dark vibe thing. But some of the examples I went back and found after they made me so mad. Horny little bitch. Slutty little wife. Little cock whore. Little cum slut. She might even beg me to breed her. I mean, it was just, if it would have been, like, one or two times, but it's, like, every fucking few pages. I'm like, what name is he going to come up with this time?
I mean, I think that, what is it, degradation kink?
Yes.
And this book was 95% sex, and if she's into degradation, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot in there.
That was my least favorite part, is just the names they kept calling her. And Little One was probably the only one that I found acceptable.
So you don't, so what you're saying is you do not have a degradation kink.
I did not realize I didn't, because I kind of felt I was equal opportunity kink, but no, not this one. I didn't like it.
Learning new things every day.
I mean, live or die, right?
We're living, we're growing.
We're learning.
We're learning.
What was your least favorite part?
Okay, listen.
Listening.
My secondhand embarrassment is so strong. Oh my god. When she thought the love letters he was sending her mom were for her.
Oh, that hurt.
I wanted to just melt into a puddle of mortification on the floor. I would perish. I would fucking die of mortification if I were her. I would be like, oh my god, forget you ever met me. I don't know who I am. I'm gonna go, like, run away and change my identity and never talk to you again. Cool, bye. And just, like, the added that it was her mom. It just added, yeah, like an extra layer of,
we're
dear god, no.
We're getting to the mom. She coming in my book report. She coming.
Well, she was coming.
Oh.
Gross. So, okay, yeah, so we're gonna, don't worry, we're gonna
But keep in mind that she's like a pedophile, because he's 16 and she's a grown-ass adult, like, oh, having, yeah, sex with him, so.
And he was not.
There's too many shades of 50 Shades of Grey up in this story, if you know what I mean.
We're gonna get to the mom. The mom will come up repeatedly, probably, throughout this book report. She trifling. Let's see, okay, so I was fucking mortified on Elena's
behalf.
You're
sitting there, like, embarrassed for her.
I was like, oh, nope, I gotta close the book, I gotta go take a walk, I gotta go do something and forget this part ever happened, and then I come back to the book later.
Ugh. And it's still happening.
And I forgot, I actually forgot, because I took a big break. All right, also, I mean, we've kind of brought this up. What was the plot?
What was sex! It? Sex! Sex, sex, so, sex!
I just, okay, so in my break, I got 3/4 of the way through, and then I came back, and so it was the last quarter.
Hmm.
It felt so clunky and rushed. So I get to the last quarter of it, and I'm thinking there's going to be a big conflict, a confrontation with the dad. Like, he's got something up his sleeve, and it's going to be this big thing, and it's going to tear him apart for a little bit, and they'll get back together. You know, the 3/4 of the way breakup. But no. Nothing fucking happened.
Dad was the most useless character in the whole fucking book. And he's supposedly this big, bad, like, mafia head of the family, like, no? Maybe
he was just set dressing.
White Carmen, maybe. I was fucking terrified of her, but not him. Like, I'm sorry, you are not a scary mob boss, sir.
It was just a big letdown, because I thought he was in cahoots with someone else, and they were gonna try to kill Cal.
No.
Or he was going to try to marry Elena off to someone else, and it was going to be a big thing. No, nothing happened.
the whole time his play was to get, like, extortion money out of Callum.
And then Cal just gave him the money. No fight, no fuss. I was like, what?
Well, he didn't necessarily give him the money. He bought out of the family. So I think in the end, they were left with pretty much nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Entirely. Because they would have to pay out all the other... It would be a whole... I don't think...
Raphael, because but... Elena ratted him out on her way back to Cal.
I know. And that was brilliant. Like, she had to do it. Like, she needed... I liked that after their whole, like, you know, it comes out that, you know, he had the relationship with her mom, that he leaves her space. You know, he's like, he knows where she is. He could go take her by force and take her back to the island, but he lets her make that decision on her own, and the decision she makes is burn down the family, go back to my husband, and I enjoyed that. That was the other, like, one part of romance in the story.
They deserved it. Now, I did feel kind of bad for her sisters. What the fuck moment? I can tell by your face, there's probably a few.
I narrowed it down to the two worst of moments, I feel. And one of them isn't even really a what the fuck so much as, like, I think it's a what the fuck because it would totally be me doing that. But anyways, we'll start with the true what the fuck moment before we get to that one. So the reveal that Carmen, Elena's mother, is the one that sent the hooligans after her to assault her. And that the reason for it all is because she's jealous of her own daughter. Elena and her are having this conversation, and she's like, I thought if the world turned against your union, maybe he'd give you back. Even had your father send men out to rough you up, thinking maybe Cal would realize he was in over his head. Like, literally had people, multiple grown men, go and assault your teenage, yes, older teen, but teenage daughter.
Yeah.
I just assumed that it was the father. Like, he was, like, doing something nonsense in the background. Like you said, like, he's going to have this big villain moment. And no. She just, like, Carmen went to her husband, send your guys to, like, rough up and assault your own daughter. And he does it. So it's like, who's really the head of this family? Because clearly it's Carmen. So that was obviously what the fuck. So the other thing is way back in the beginning when Cal has killed Elena's fiance on the day of their wedding and stolen her, you know, for his own bride. And she's like, her fiance Mateo, I guess, has been poisoned and then stabbed for good measure. And he's dead on a bed in the background while all of this is going on. And Cal thinks Elena is, like, laying over him, like, crying, like, maybe she's, like, upset about it or something. And then I realize, as she peels that piece back, revealing the blood-soaked dress shirt beneath, that she was not sniffling, she was smelling him. And it's a what-the-fuck moment, but it also is, I would probably do something like that, because I am part bloodhound. I will smell literally anything. And the fact that she was smelling the blood on him, I was like, okay, that's on page 30. Like, you're not even 10% of the way into this book yet. And she's, like, sniffing around, like, she's just as twisted as this guy is. They're a perfect match.
She's already making it weird.
She's already making it weird. I'm like, okay.
One of us.
So that one was kind of, it stuck out as, she's doing what? Cool. And then I thought, like, about,
you know, when you find a bad smell
and you have to keep smelling it. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't not smell it.
So what was your, what the fuck moment?
The mom setting it up to have the mom. Her own mother having it set up for men to attack her. Like, what?
Uh-huh.
You're her mother. What is your problem? Yeah, also, the guy drugging her at the bar that ended up leading to the assault.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So Cal takes her to this bar, and he's like, his bar. You know, the whole island is his. Everything. Everyone obviously knows who he is. He's everyone's boss, basically. Mm-hmm. So he wants to go deal with his sister. He has, like, a half-sister. He's been trying to give money this entire time, and she's like, fuck your money. And he's like, okay, try to give you another check this time next month. Cool. So he's trying to hash things out with his half-sister. So I think he lived with his mom. His mom got cancer and died. And then I think he might have ended up in the system. But he did try to go visit his biological father, and it didn't go well. But apparently the biological father, you know, he had
more kids with some other woman. Correct. Then I guess he ended up having money in the end, or was it the grandfather?
The grandfather had money.
So his biological father's dad, so his grandpa had money, got wind of him, decided
to take him on as his heir.
Obviously, grandpa's a misogynist, and he's like, only the males can inherit. And then he just cuts out the female grandchildren he has, because I think it's two girls.
I think that was more he didn't like his own son and wanted to basically fuck him. And the fact that true. His son had, like, fucked over Cal and his mom made Cal the appealing heir.
I'm pretty sure
all that's the parents, part of the plot that's missing. Yes.
The
yes.
majority of these of the parents in this book suck ass.
Yes.
So grandpa's like, I'm going to give you all the money. Fuck your siblings. So Cal's like, hey, that's kind of not cool. Let me try to give this money to my siblings. Because technically he doesn't need it. He made his money in the mafia, so he doesn't technically need it, really. So he's trying to do the right thing and set up a trust and set his siblings up for life. And it might just be Violet. It might just be the one sister. I don't recall any others.
Yeah, it was just Violet at this. I don't know.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, I got to go talk to my sister and try to give her another check so she can flip me the bird and tell me to go fuck myself and not take it again. So he has Elena, he wants her to wait in the bar while he goes off and does this. Which my thing is, why couldn't you have left her at the house? But we're not going to get it.
Plot.
Yeah, he leaves her at the bar, and then she, being Elena, stubborn and immature, she's just like, I'm going to leave. And I'm like, okay, but you can't. There's a female bartender, and I think there's a male, like, bouncer or bartender. I can't even remember his name. He sucks. Whatever. Doesn't matter. He's manhandling her, trying to keep her inside, and she whoops his ass.
I believe his name was Vernon. He doesn't live for long.
No, obviously. So, she knows a lot of self-defense maneuvers. She whoops his ass. He gets pissed off and stabs her. With a sedative, he stabs and injects her with a sedative.
Vinny.
That Vinny. Fucker.
So Vinny the villain.
Yeah. Vinny the fucking idiot. So he goes and does this, and the female bartender is like, dude, what? No, don't do that. And he's like, oh, that fucking bitch. Because she kicked him in the balls or something. It's like, wow.
She also, like, punched his face in. Like, he's, like, broke his nose. Like, she took him down.
I mean, he deserved it. He shouldn't have touched her.
But he also probably didn't need to roofie her.
No, that's the thing. And it's like, okay, say he manhandled her because he was worried about Cal getting upset that she left when he told him to watch her. Okay, all right. What the fuck makes you think Cal's going to be okay with you roofying her?
Why the fuck does Vinny have a needle with injectionable, like, Rohypnol in his pocket for?
Exactly. So, the whole thing was just skeevy and gross. I was like, ugh, this guy. And he dies, so it's fine. Spoiler alert. He gets tortured to death. It's great.
Because why? Because he let Cal's wife out, and she got severely injured and assaulted. And
yeah,
that was her mom's fault, but still. The plot that's in this book is just fucked up. Just get back to the sex.
What plot?
All right. That's 5% plot. Okay.
5%. Okay. But the biggest what the fuck for me, I'm going to let you finish your drink because, you know, I might go there. Boinky at the recital loudly enough that you know your family is, they're all going to hear it.
Huh?
He literally says at one point, want to make mommy jealous. Mm-hmm. And I'm just reading it and I'm like, all right, Elena, weird flex, but okay.
So exhibitionism is not your kink, because...
No, exhibitionism, that's different.
That was
full on. This is exhibitionism in front of your entire fucking family.
But like, that's how she was claiming her,
yeah, it's
her
like
ownership
she was,
of
was,
her dominance
over... Yeah, she was
over...
like, listen to this, Mom, I can fuck him so much better.
I'm
like,
not saying it's healthy, off. I'm just
no,
saying.
No, I get why she did it, but it was just... It was so cringe for me. I was like, this is
That Ooh. Made me very happy. We have very different reactions to that.
Oh, scene. No, I definitely was like, haha, fuck her mom. Like, I was all for it, but at the same time in my head, I'm like, okay, Elena, you do you.
She is a twisted one.
I probably would have just punched her in the face. If I were Elena, I would have kicked her in the cooter or punched her in the face. You know, some titty punches, some titty jabs.
Oh, boy.
Just beat her ass. Yeah,
I think I probably would have gotten violent with that mother, I'm not gonna lie.
Like, you yeah. groomed a kid.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, so we're... More on that later.
You know where that's coming back.
Listen. Don't worry. We're gonna talk more shit about the mom later. Alright. Speaking of. Red flags.
Okay, look, if you want me to count the red flags in this book, the number is around 11 billion. I would say there's a red flag for every page of this book. But it's a lot. So a lot. We're going to bring back a couple more quotes because I said we'd have more quotes. So to the possession red flag, I bring to you page 79. Let's see what that was. Let me break this shit down. Oh, Cal is talking to Elena, telling her, you're not a weapon, you're a pawn. That ring on your finger makes you my pawn. And then she asks, well, what are you going to do, lock me in your house and throw away the key? He doesn't answer. He just, like, forcefully puts her into the house. So, that, yeah, sir.
Hashtag romance.
A, yeah. So, the misogyny of the whole family. So this is talking about, this is where she says, oh, I grew up a mafia princess. I'm definitely no stranger to death. When you grow up in the world of the family, you're taught to take the abuse. Fight back when you can, but on the whole, and especially where men are involved, you're expected to put up with it. That's why I was going to marry Matteo De Luca. So basically, you're not only are you his pawn, but you're the family's pawn because you're a girl.
Yeah.
Then they have their infamous, you know, their murder buddies. So, you know, I guess if you're a couple that murders together, you stay together. Because she got super excited when they were in, like, the murder, like, shed. And he was, like, like, sawing into someone's chest. And the other thing, here's the thing, that this has nothing to do with red flags, but it makes me crazy about, like, any mafia-related, like, torture death scene. You cannot take someone's beating heart out of their chest. They will be dead by then. This is not how anatomy works. You cannot take a heart out of someone's chest and it's pumping. There's not beating anymore. You just cracked open someone's chest forcefully. They have bled out or they are in shock. That heart is done by the time you get your hands on it. Which is so aggravating. And he did it like 3 or 4 times. Keeps going into people's chest cavities for their hearts. He's like, sir, they're not beating anymore. You can stop being crazy.
Rude.
Right? Why'd you stop eating? You're no fun anymore. What were your red flags?
You know, maybe sleeping with your mom.
You know.
Even though
still not okay.
Technically, he was groomed. We're gonna get into that later. But still, it's just the fact that doesn't matter which way, shape, or form, red flag.
How does it work if you've been fucking the guy before you find out that your mother fucked the guy?
Yeah.
Explain that. But I mean, do you just stop? Because, like, you're already done. You've already done the deed.
It's probably
a very good deed.
But you see, it's different. It depends on your relationship with your mother, I think.
Well, in that case, keep fucking him.
I would vomit and immediately stop. But I have a decent relationship with my mother.
See, exactly. Elena does not.
Now, if my mother, like Elena's mother, you know, honestly, now that I think of it, maybe, you know, weird flex, but great flex. Boinking him in front of the mom so she can hear.
Well, I mean, that happened and you didn't like it.
It was more like the dad and the sisters being subjected to it. It wasn't as much the mom because, bitch. But no, it was more like, okay, but your entire family is there, including your sisters and your dad. Like, they didn't do anything. Well, I mean, the dad did. Fuck him. Not much, obviously, but, like, this is, I don't know. I wouldn't
Oh, true.
So it's like, yeah, you literally subjected your entire family to this when really you wanted it targeted, but... So, yeah, I was just gross. Like...
Gross.
All right.
You don't like it.
Carves his initials into your body.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, it made me so queasy. I don't like needles, so just the
you
thought...
You didn't like the knife?
Blech, blech. No.
No. No, you know, what you're forgetting is not just the cutting, but the fact that he's, like, licking it, and, like, later she carves her initials into his chest and, like, sucks the blood. Like, it went a little vampire. And, like, repeatedly...
See, here's the thing. Like, I don't
but
know
But then
why.
There's one time where they're, like, rubbing the blood on his dick, and then he's fucking her. Like, the blood is, it's a lot.
See, here's the thing.
Disturbing.
It's the fact, like, the knife, like, cutting in. So I'm phobic of needles or any kind of cutting into my body. Like, when I go to get my shots and stuff and my vaccines, they look at me and they're like, do you want to sit down? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Because you probably are, like, 50 shades of pale.
I'm probably like white or green
and waxy from sweat,
and I start sweating. But yeah, it's phobias or phobias. So like, as soon as he's like, oh, I carved my name, I'm like, bleh. No,
they talk about that a lot.
Yeah, it's just, it's a reoccurring thing. Well, because, you know, it's like a brand, it's his mark, he's marked her, she's his, he's put mm-hmm. he's literally put his
claimed
claim
ownership
on her. Yeah, uh-huh. So it's like, okay, that's cool. Like, I get that concept. But the second you start talking about, like, sharp edges.
I'm out.
Ghosts after taking your virginity. Rude.
Rude.
Very rude.
True story.
Murders your fiancé.
I mean.
No matter how shitty that fiancé was, but still, you know.
If that was your fiancé, murder him.
He could have given her the opportunity to do it herself.
Oh, I see.
Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
If someone pulls out a pocket knife during sex, it's time to run.
Oh my god.
What I wrote down. Accurate. The whole time you're going off about the knife, I'm like, she's gonna love this.
I would, in fact, run.
No, seriously. Like, there are a lot of behaviors in this book that, you know, you can get away with. Like, it's a kink, it's fiction, it's a lot of things. But, no, if you are in a situation with another human and they pull out a knife, you get the fuck out. Like, mm-hmm. That's it. Full stop. But other than that, like, I don't need to know how to survive a mafia. I don't need to know anything about setting up trust funds. There's nothing real about this except, you know, knives and sex do not go hand in hand. Did you find anything to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
If your family is truly abusive and shitty and just suck ass, tell them to fuck off as soon as possible and get out. Because she spent all these years talking about, oh, I just wanted them to love me. I just wanted to please my father and blah, blah, blah. And her self-esteem took a huge hit. Because then, you know, towards the end, her mom's sitting there literally admitting that she was jealous of her. She tries to cut her down at every available opportunity.
Mm.
And if you go so long with someone doing that to you, it has a very negative effect. It's going to stick with you the rest of your life. You've got to get away from that. Leave your toxic family as long as it's safe and you are able to do so. I know circumstances vary, like that, I understand that. But if you're able to, safely, ghost those bitches. Also, you know, just embrace your kinks. You know, like, I'm not into the cutting. I mean, unless you have, like, a vomit kink and you want me to throw up on you. Like, maybe, I don't know. No. But to each their own. Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
I don't know if it's specifically a spicy snippet, but I do have a question. So, Elena has these initials carved into her inner thigh, right? You know, most people aren't really going to see this, but by the end of the book, somehow her and Cal have brought another life into the world, and she's, you know, had a baby. What does the OBGYN think about these clearly initials scarred into her thigh that apparently he just cuts open? This has got to be the thickest scar on her thigh. And, like, she's delivered a baby. Like, that baby has come out of where those, like, it has been seen. So does this doctor not ask questions like, are you okay? Do you need help? Like, are we not going to talk about this?
Cal's a doctor. Maybe he delivered his own child. Eh? Well, it's probably a paid mafia doctor, honestly.
It would make sense if he just had a doctor that would ask questions, but...
Well, that, and also, I'm sure the doctor probably asked at least once, and then I'm assuming Elena, I'm sure, she assured them, oh no, it's fine. And it's not like they're gonna, it's not like they can really...
He's got one too.
Yeah, it's not like they can ask you to go into detail, you know, they kind of just gotta take your answer for what it is. So she's probably like, oh no, it's fine. Ha ha ha. The thing my husband and I do.
To each other.
Yeah. It's fine. Like you said, don't worry, he's got one too.
He's got one too.
Yeah.
You have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book.
Okay. Back to the mom.
Okay.
So this isn't necessarily a part of the within the book itself, but reviews about the book. There were so many reviews that obviously him having just in general, your partner sleeping with your mom is a big ick, and that's fine. Generally, not going into details, that's ick. The details of this story were that he was groomed when he was a vulnerable teenager. Like he was in an extremely vulnerable position. His mother had died. He was in the system. He was probably, like, facing abuse already. And this family just takes him in. They treat him well. And he's a teenager, so he's going through puberty. And he has, like, a weird attraction to the mother. She takes advantage of it. She grooms him. She makes it seem... like, and this is a grown-ass married woman with her own kids, by the way. She fully takes advantage of this kid's vulnerability and his confusion at his age, and she makes him her plaything, basically. She just starts sleeping with him, fooling around with him, and then making it seem like she's in love with him, like they have like a genuine relationship, even though she's already married. He kind of should have known better, but he's a kid. He's not the adult in that situation. She is.
Yeah.
No one's giving context in these reviews, and they're just saying how gross he is, and he's a villain. He's the villain, not the victim, because he was abused by her mother. But no one's like saying it's abuse or that she groomed him or how young he was when it happened. It just really bothered me. Let's get into the speed round.
Let's do it.
Oh, wait, I should... Or wait, is that the boner sound? I don't know. What are sounds? What is music?
What are sounds? What are words? Why are we here?
What is life?
Oh, stop.
All right, speed round. Who would you want to be besties with and why?
We have not talked about her, but I've decided she's going to be my bestie. So Marceline.
Yes.
Housekeeper, who is... she's just quietly in the background doing her job, and every time you talk about her, it's like she's done with Cal and she's tired of cleaning up his messes, and she just wants to go back home and do her normal like housekeeping job. But I would want to be besties with her because she literally knows where the bodies are. Like,
yeah,
she knows everything. Like, if she wanted to, she could take everyone down quietly from her little dark corner. So I definitely want to be besties with her. Who would you want to be besties with and why?
I went with Stella.
Okay.
Stella is Elena's youngest sister of the three. She just seems to be the most laid back and logical, ironically, since she's the youngest. She just seems very chill and just always has a level head. And I just feel like if we were friends, she and I would be the ones, like, off to the side, just, like, just talking shit about everyone else's shenanigans. I like
it. She'd be a good bestie, for sure.
Who do you want to throat punch and why?
Carmen! Shock of the century! For all of the reasons, the grooming, the nonsense that she pulled, but not only did she instigate the attack on her daughter, But you find out that she spent an entire lifetime trying to undermine any opportunity that Elena had. Like, she wouldn't let her take dance classes, language courses, always, like, smothered her, you know, learning ability, all out of jealousy for a man that she tried to kill when she was done with him. But now it's like we said, she doesn't want him, but no one else can have him either. She raised her child this way when she saw she was going to be beautiful and she had all these opportunities. And so she's just trying to keep her down. So she's definitely getting a throat punch. I mean, she's getting all the throat punch.
For sure.
Who do you want to throw punch and why?
Yeah. Parents. You know, obviously the mom more than the dad.
Just, you know...
I mean, damn, just hit her with a car at this point. Mow her down. Like, bye.
Bye, bitch.
Bye, bitch. Seriously, who the fuck do you think you are? People like her should not have children. Oh, my child turned out beautiful. Oh, I'm so jealous of them. Like, so what? You thought you were gonna have ugly-ass kids?
Well, I don't understand. If she's so jealous of the first one, why carry on and have two more?
Right? I'm so confused.
Yeah, I have questions.
And concerns.
And concerns. Questions and concerns.
You know, the trend of shitty parents just continues.
Continues.
Yeah. Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
Callum, obviously. His nickname is Dr. Death. I mean... I don't think I need to explain this further.
Yeah.
I will obviously have the sadistic serial killer mafia hitman on my side in a fight. So who do you want on your side in a fight and why?
Dr. Death. Same reasons. Oh my gosh, we have the same answer. What's happening? The world's gonna
end. I don't
end.
Know. We're taking our fight and we're going for the parents mutually together with our besties.
Who would you cast for these characters, or assign characters zodiac signs based off vibe?
Okay, so I looked up, because I can't just guess them off the top of my head, some of the traits of the different zodiac signs, and I've come down to this. Elena is a Pisces. She has all of our worst qualities. I say R because I, too, am a Pisces. But she's weak-willed. She's easily led. At the same time, she's very escapist and idealistic. I think her outlook on reality is a little bit skewed. Callum is a Leo, and with that, obviously, many of the awful traits. He's pompous and patronizing, bossy, interfering, domineering. And surprise, surprise, their signs are not compatible in a romantic relationship.
So Pisces and Leo.
Correct. Who would you cast for these characters, or what zodiac signs would you assign them?
Well, I'm just going to go with my panic casting, because okay, I don't have time for anything else.
Got it. I like panic casting.
Yes. Okay, so for Cal, I couldn't really find someone that kind of matched the image I had of him in my head, but I think Bill Skarsgård would be... an interesting, like, a good choice. He's in Hemlock Grove.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, his big breakout role. He just has a very intense face. And I feel like Cal is giving lots of intensity. Right? True. And then, okay, for Elena, I went with Madison Pettis. She's a part of the Disney Channel. She was on a show called Cory in the House. I just see Elena as... tan skin, curly hair, very pretty. I think she would be a good Elena.
Okay.
That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodreads reviews here. We're going to go high to low.
Oh, why are you doing me like that? Okay. High to low.
That's how the cookie crumbles.
Well, I want to know that cookie. That's
just... We're going to start with Maddie, who gave it 5 stars. 10 out of 10. I love this story, bro.
Cool, bro.
Bro, cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro.
Danielle gave it 5 stars. Thoughts while reading this book. Why am I like this? My English degree did not prepare me. Who am I becoming? Why am I so into this? Wait, Do I like mafia romances now? Am I into blood? No. Maybe? Best to leave that kink unexplored.
Can I change my bestie to her, please?
I know, right? And we've got another 5-star here. It's Lauren. This book made me question my morals. I didn't know I was into certain things until Sav made me have a book awakening.
A book awakening?
A book awakening.
Is it like a sexual awakening? Only
not? I was gonna say, and by book she means schmexual. Vic gave it 5 stars as well. How many Hades and Persephone retellings can I read before I absolutely lose my mind is the question. This book just really hit all the bases and delivered on everything. Like, I don't even have any complaints, lol. And then there's an update. Still slaps the second time around.
Whoa, they went back for seconds.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, they've got Samantha gave it 4 stars. Callum Asher Anderson, please carve your initials in me. Smiley emoji, thumbs up emoji. It's the thumbs up emoji for me. My 50 Shades mood gave it 4 stars. Just one thing. Elena's mom can choke, but not on Cal's dick. On someone else's.
I knew that was coming. I was waiting for the on Cal's dick comment.
You and there it was. Know.
I already know.
Emmy gave it 3 stars. Didn't love it. Didn't hate it. The plot twist with the mom, though, all caps. What the fuck?
What the fuck? She gets us.
I mean, it was definitely a what the fuck moment. Although it was predictable. You kind of saw it coming, but like still.
No, because I literally spent the whole time just assuming it was the worthless father. Like, I did not. I knew I didn't like the mom, and I knew there was probably like she was with Cal at one point. I did not necessarily see the grooming pedophilia coming, but I did not expect that she was the one that sent the goons after her. I did not. It was literally.
Oh yeah, no, that was. I was like, wait, what? Are you for real?
Like, ew, no, gross.
Kishi gave it 3 stars. I genuinely have no idea what the plot of this book was. Me either.
Same.
Elise gave it 3 stars. Felt like not much plot was going on. And why were they having sex every other page?
Same.
Yes. Risa gave it 2 stars. Personally, I don't like it when the love interest fucked the main character's mom. But I don't know, that's just me. Y'all stay safe, though. That's fair.
I mean...
So, fair. Like, as I talked about before, in general, it's very ick. If you're talking bare bones, he boinked your mom. Gross. That doesn't get into the whole detailing of what occurred and when. And yeah. It is still ick. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, let me go through my mom's roster and see if there's anyone I can date in there.
It's super cool. My mom already fucked them. I want to, too.
Yeah, like, there must have been something interesting. Allison gave it 2 stars. This one's kind of long, but it's very funny. So
okay. I'll settle in.
Laugh out loud funny. 100% convinced that this is Twilight fanfic. There is even, I shit you not, an unironic homage to Olaf. Be sure to read this with others, because friends don't let friends read traumatic books alone. Set the expectation bar on the lowest possible setting. Take a couple of tequila shots and pump it twice like Papa taught you. Enjoyed the hell out of this book, to quote my dear friend Liz. The most fun I never want to have again. Like, we're getting into 1 stars now.
Excellent. Bring it.
This one's got a callback to another book we've covered.
Ooh, how exciting.
Right, it is a spoiler, so I'm going to call it out when we get to it. All right. Gina, 1 star. Honestly, call me a hypocrite. I'm always on board for keeping it in the family. Spoiler for Credence. If you have not read Credence, skip ahead. If you have not listened to the Credence episode, which I'm not sure why, it's the most listened to episode on this podcast. Go listen to it and then come back. All right. Okay. We're serious. It's a spoiler. All right. like in Credence, when the sons share the same chick with their dad. Yeah, that was fun to read. It's a cold day in hell when I ever, like, mother-daughter fuck the same guy. And add that, he was really into the mom. Yeah. It's a no for me, babe. Katrin, 1 star. All caps. Everyone in this book should be in fucking jail. Oh, God.
Honestly.
They're not wrong. They're not wrong.
They're not wrong.
That's a fair point.
Uh-huh. Everyone should be in therapy. That's, yes.
Okay. Big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbol would you rate this book?
You're going to hate it because I picked pocket knife.
Say pocket knife?
That's right, I did.
How dare you?
I didn't know it was a whole phobia thing. But it's you're literally. Yeah.
It's not like you said syringe. Like, we're good. We're good.
You said it, not me.
I know, I almost made myself vomit. It's fine.
I'm going back and forth on this, like...
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with my original 4 because the characters are shitty, but that doesn't make the writing shitty, and we're not rating it for a plot because there is not one. But if we're talking about, like, we're being honest here. There's nothing but truth in this podcast. It might be much profanity, but it's all true.
Absolutely.
It is an enjoyable read. Like, if you want the dark and raunchy and lots of sex, and it does have enough plot in there to kind of tie the sex scenes together, you get the flavor of the Hades and Persephone, you know, inspiration to the story. It's not, obviously, an outright retelling.
Yeah.
I thought it was really enjoyable, so I am sticking with my 4 pocket knives.
4 pocket knives. Correct. Knives. 4 and pocket knives.
Correct. With a V now. How many pocket knives would you give Promises and Pomegranates?
So I also went back and forth again. Part of this is on me because there is quite a large gap from when I read the first 3 quarters to the last quarter of the book. Mm-hmm. So I ended up kind of forgetting a lot. But I'm changing it as we speak.
Are you?
I am.
Hey.
But you see, the thing is, this book is all over TikTok. Everywhere. Bookstagram, BookTok, everywhere. The way people talk about it, I thought it was going to be like the second coming of Christ or something. Like... And so I read it, and this wasn't bad. The writing itself is lovely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely lovely. The characters...
are trash.
Cal was an interesting, sympathetic character at times. But he, like, you'd feel bad for him, but then he would turn around and do something, and you're like, okay. I'm going to give it 3.75 pocket knives.
I'm going to disassemble this pocket knife, and I'm going to give you all the parts except this sharp stabby bit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like,
you can have the corkscrew and the nail file.
I will be keeping the sharp implement. It fell flat, and I think part of it is I was a victim of the hype train yet again. I'm definitely going to be continuing the series.
Okay.
Because, you know, spoiler, I need to know what's up with the lotion.
You need to know what's up with the lotion. And when you know, you let me know.
Yes. Ba-da-da! This week's boner. Heather, what was your boner?
Yes. So the book is called The Second You're Single by Kara Tanimachi. Mm-hmm. He stands at the foot of the bed and slowly unzips his fly, his jeans dropping to the floor, and I see him in his bare glory. And there is lots and lots of glory. So much glory. I push myself up on my elbows and my jaw drops so hard I can hear the joint pop. Did I mention the glory? Is this okay? He asks me, and I know he means sex in general because he's getting consent, but it also sounds like he's asking if his glory is okay. I just.
It's the glory, Heather!
It's the glory! So much glory! So this is why, like I said, it just feels like this is a very dated rom-com. I'm just like, can we call it glory? Is this a thing we do? But I saved that specifically for you.
I love it. It's the glory. It's glorious.
Of course you do.
Those are the chaotic cucumbers for this week. But eventually, I'd like to hear some elusive eggplant descriptions from all of you listeners. No pictures, please, just written descriptions. You can email the goods to turgidtonespodcast@gmail.com, put biweekly boner in the subject line, and don't forget, you must include the name of the book or article and author. The final theme of season 2 will be Back in the Day, where we'll be falling backwards into some timeless romance.
I like it.
Heather, we have done it.
Yay!
I think this is going to be your last episode of season 2.
I believe so, yes.
We have some surprises in store for season 3. Yeah. Join me back here in 2 weeks for our next read, Outlander, by Diana Gabaldone.
And remember to fix each other's crowns, and don't let the dicks get you down.
Toodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.